All righty, let me just confirm. Jed, is that you joining us?
It is. Yep, how are you?
Very good. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Bids Power Hour, and we are delighted that all of you are here with us to listen to the tools, the resources, the strategies that will help you win as a media sales professional, whether you're selling ads in print, e-newsletters, on the web, whatever it might be. The strategies that we are here to help you will give you the tools to literally listen to this message and deploy them immediately. As you're getting settled in, you're always going to hear our words of encouragement. Find a quiet space, close your office door, turn off whatever technology, phones are ringing, whatever it might be. Try to be able to really actively listen. It's not an accident that we do not have something on your screen. We want to keep this very simple because in all of the best research on adult education and all of our work over the last two decades simply says the more notes you take, the more active you're listening, the more that we're infusing and transferring the knowledge to you, which we consider the coach or coaching approach. Today, we're going to be talking about the eight smart ways to leverage association involvement. And over the last decade, we've had the pleasure of working with Jed and the team at MediaBids. And we always love, Jed, some opening words about you and the team at MediaBids. Tell us what's cooking. Tell us what's going on.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks to Ernest. Ernest has an enormous amount of publication-related knowledge, and I always learn a lot from his suggestions. Thank you all for joining us. MediaBids is a company that is devoted to driving revenue to print publications. We do it in several non-conventional ways. We use internet-based processes to sell print advertising. We use auctions. We have a sort of a standing kind of buy it now offer, and we also do response-based advertising. But in everything we do, we track the results of the ads that we place. So as a result, we're able to determine how different print publications are performing and how different advertisers perform in those print publications. So it allows us to use that data to then sell advertising to companies that traditionally, or at least in the recent past, have not used print as one of their main outlets. And we've sort of been able to create a little niche for ourselves where we're able to speak an internet-based language about print. And so that's mainly what we do. We'd love to have your publication involved. We'd love to, if you are involved, thank you, and we'd love to have you even more involved. So feel free to reach out to us, give us a call anytime, send me an email. We're always happy to talk about how we can generate more revenue for your publication.
Mm-hmm. And when you work with Jed and their team at MediaBids, they know how to help you drive revenue. They know how to help you have measurable results for the ads that they're providing. And they also bring in global or national or regional advertisers that help you then be able to go out and sell also like or related advertisers because they can see sort of the caliber of advertisers working with you on your print side, on your e-newsletter, and your website side. So for those of you that already work with MediaBids, you know what they bring. And for those of you that have not, it is a significant opportunity to work with them. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour, and it is we have been in the advertising sales industry since 1986. I've launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a $1 billion media group and then launched Power Hour in 1995. We've coached and guided more than 2,000 advertising sales companies, teams, advertising sales managers. We absolutely love the media space, and we have clients across 11 time zones around the world because media is sort of an international language. For those who work with us, you know our fit is that we love to work in the hottest kitchens, right? When you've got the biggest opportunities or the biggest challenges, frankly, the world of digital that's come about over the last decade or so, today is ever so present, and we need to understand everything that we're doing on the digital and, of course, the print side as well, and marry those pieces together. Plus, every Tuesday, we run a sales academy for advertising sales leaders. It works just like this. You simply dial in each Tuesday, same time, and we have a particular topic area. The only thing that's different is that we're fielding your questions real time in conjunction with an audio message that you receive on Monday. So everything is there for you related to that. We hope you'll come join us. So, Jed, we're today talking about the 8 smart ways to leverage association involvement. And since the earliest days I've ever been around media, certainly associations have been part of that, part of the environment. Associations do a lot of heavy lifting bringing their members together, right?
Right, and you're referring to not only associations that that get publications together, but also associations that get advertisers together.
Absolutely. For example, if I have a website, or if I have a print publication that features ads for chiropractors, then I'm talking about an association, for example, of chiropractors, right?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
yep,
whether it's
the,
right, whether it's automotive dealers,
there's almost an infinite number of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that associations, whether it's the Association of Realtors, or automotive dealers, or chiropractors, or whatever it might be, associations do a nice job, right? They do the heavy lifting. They bring out their members. They put on events. You know, they have black tie affairs, they have golf event, you know, golfing opportunities. They have all these different things that they go out and do, and it's a lot of work for these associations, right, Jed?
Yeah, I assume so. I've never done it, so but it sounds pretty daunting.
It is a big deal. There's a lot of politics involved, right?
Yep, I have a tough enough time getting 5 members of my family in one place at one time, let alone trying to get people from an association together at one place one time.
Yep, that's exactly correct. So the bottom line is, let's talk about the 3 key areas that we're going to be covering today. And in this first piece, let's just first agree that, you know, selecting the associations that we want to join. And there's the most obvious, right, which is join the associations where your advertisers and prospective advertisers are. So if I want to sell more ads to RV dealers, I'm joining their association. If I'm going to sell more ads to chiropractors, if I'm going to sell more ads to, realtors, whatever it might be, whatever the segment is, find their association. For most of us and for most of you, that's pretty straightforward, okay? But there's a couple of additional opportunities here. Number 2, you've got the opportunity to join an association of media or ad agency profiles. And that sometimes, not always, sometimes gets skipped over. Hey, Ernest and Jed, I already belong to the chiropractor association. That's where, you know, my ad buys are. Yeah, but hang on. You've got a media club. You've got an ad agency association where you've got those buyers sitting in another association at another event that maybe you could parlay or participate. Jed, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, there's lots of creative ways to try to access those people.
Mm-hmm. Positively. And anytime we can get FaceTime with ad agencies on the other side, that's a good thing, right? They can sometimes stonewall us. They can sometimes be flippant. They can sometimes brush us off, meaning ad agencies that we're trying to move our media, you know, campaigns forward. So it's nice to have that formal, you know, opportunity or informal opportunity, a la, you know, golf tournaments and other things that are informally done. It's kind of a nice way. The third way to think about associations is what we call new veins of gold. Take, for example, RV dealers. If you're selling ads and the majority of your ads are sold to RV dealers, but you have a small piece that's sort of small and potentially growing larger called campgrounds, you might join the association for campground owners and managers and be able to farm and fish off of that pier as well. So we always like to think about not just, you know, sort of the mainstay of where you're selling ads, but also some of the nearby. Take, for example, if I'm working with realtors and I notice that we've been more recently having a lot of ads placed by roofing companies, for example, and the roofing companies relate to the ads that are being sold, I might join the Association of Roofers in my particular area. Okay, so these are the things to recognize about this. But the part about associations, look, they do all the organizing. They, they bring all of the members together. They look at the topical areas, speakers, panels, trade shows, all those kinds of things. All we have to do is show up. And that's sort of the interesting part. We only have to show up. And in my earliest days in selling ads and selling media, that's all I did. I just showed up. And then I wondered, why was I continuing to show up? And then I started to wonder, why am I going to continue to show up? I'm not getting enough from the associations that I'm a part of. And that's that moment, Jed, where you just sort of pause and go, wait a minute. You know, the associations, they want my money. They want my time. They want me on their committee. They want my sponsorships. They want me to have a trade show booth. What am I getting as my return on investment for that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I ask myself the same questions very often, and I think even today. So there's certainly I think that you join organizations, to join associations, you know, for a couple reasons, right? You join to get access to their members, but you also join as a sign of solidarity, right? Or a sign that, you know, you're not just someone who's trying to get the members who you have access to do something, but you're part of the you're part of the industry, I think that it takes some extra effort to really leverage that.
Mm-hmm. And it does, and that really waterfalls into the second part of what we're going to cover today. But before we do that, let's field this question from Angie. Angie in Florida asks, how do we deal with association members who claim word of mouth is the only useful advertisement? And the initial comment is, look, prior to where we are today, word of mouth was, and any sort of media solution, before even the printed word, word of mouth was how all businesses, you know, grew from the earliest days of time. You know, I hear so-and-so does this, and word traveled, and that's how it was built. And then the earliest media days, Jed, which we were around for, you put an ad in the newspaper, you put an ad in the yellow pages, and you had some flyers, and word of mouth. That was it. Today, the infinite number of solutions is almost daunting for any business, anywhere, anytime. It is not easy on that side. But Jed, you also have a perspective on this related to being also able to share the success of what advertising brings. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the objection that word of mouth is the preferred method of advertising is the same, you know, whether it's happening in the context of an association or it's happening in the context of a business meeting that you're having. It's the same objection, and I think that one of the advantages of getting that objection within an association is that if you're able to provide data that shows that that your publication is performing well for other association members, very often, because of the way that these associations work and a lot of the events are social, you know, you can even, you know, point to the guy across the room for whom your publication is working well, and you can point out members and people that they know who are being successful with your publication. But it really comes down to being able to prove and to show that ads in your publication are being successful. You know, Ernest and I have talked about this on other calls. And I feel like I bring it up on every single one of these calls, regardless of what the topic is. So you have to excuse me for that. But it's it really comes down to tracking the results that your publication is generating, and it can be done many different ways. We here at MediaBids use predominantly phone numbers. We use unique 800 numbers in the ads that we run. We find that to be a great way to track results in print. You can do it through unique URLs. Whatever method you choose, they all can be successful, but the point is that it really helps to be able to validate the money that's being spent in your publication with some hard data. So we would recommend, you know, if you're whether you're overcoming a word of mouth objection or you're overcoming, you know, we only use the internet objection, the easiest way to overcome objections like that is to be able to provide some data about how similar advertisers are performing in your publication. And you would be shocked at how by providing that data, how quickly some of the walls can come down. Because ultimately, these advertisers have the same goals, all have the same goals, and that is, you know, they want to spend money and advertising, but make money in return. The guy who swears by word of mouth, right, if he can spend $500 and make $1,000, you know, he can still love word of mouth, but he's gonna want to advertise with you.
Mm-hmm. And that part is so key, and we're hoping, Angie, that answers your question. And we have a related companion question that came in, Jed, from Jolene in Ohio, who says, "How can I increase sales with MediaBid ads?" So why don't we just take a few minutes and give her that capsule? Then, and I know you have something to share as well about that. And Angie, we hope we answered your question. If not, drop us back an email. Just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, and we'll be more than happy to field part two of your question. And then in just a moment, we're going to talk about the 8 specific steps. But let's field this question that just came in from Jolene in Ohio about increasing sales with MediaBid ads. You want to talk a little bit about that, Jed?
Sure. I mean, there's a few different ways. And, you know, if I had Jolene on the phone right now, I'd ask her sort of specifically which ads she's referring to. So we have conventional advertising, right, where we have advertisers who are buying space. And we do that, we sort of, you know, entice advertisers in a variety of different ways. But ultimately, advertisers are buying space. You know, we have the challenge of we work with almost 12,000 publications, so we have the challenge of how do we get these national advertisers to spend money, in a conventional way, buying space in each one of these sort of smaller publications. And we do our best to sort of show them how well it can perform for them. So on a conventional basis, I would say, if it's just a straight sale where an advertiser is buying space, you know, we find that the publications that sell the most tend to be publications that are, that have reasonable rates, that have, you know, strong circulation, but more than that, they're publications that perform well after an ad runs. So the ad tends to fit well with their audience. And sometimes that's because of a decision that we've made or the advertiser has made, but it also helps us to understand more about the readership of the publication. You know, is the publication, is it an area that's particularly, you know, blue collar, or is it an area that's, you know, that's urban or more suburban? I mean, those types of things make a difference in terms of response to an advertiser. And one of our biggest frustrations very often is that every publication assumes that that it's better to serve a rich sort of a rich middle, you know, a rich area, right? So publications will often tell us that their readership is, you know, the wealthiest in the country. Well, that's great, but you know, we're not advertising Jaguars, right? We're advertising, you know, a lot of products that are sort of designed to be for people who aren't the richest people in the world. So, you know, a lot of our advertisers are looking for the types of audiences I think that publications have, but sometimes in publications' enthusiasm to sort of sell themselves, they forget who they're trying to sell to. And they might overstate some of their attributes. And I'm not suggesting Jolene has done this, but I'm talking sort of hypothetically here.
Sure.
But you know, it's so I would say, you know, be realistic about your readership. Let us know, you know, what your readership is like. You know, on the response side, so that's kind of on the paid buy side. On the response side, the decisions are a little bit more in your court, right? We have a group of advertisers, and honestly, they're willing to advertise today in any publication in America. And because they're paying only for response, so they're paying based on the number of phone calls that are generated. You know, we get some publications who run ads and they get disappointing results because, again, the advertiser that they've picked doesn't really fit with their readership. You know, maybe they're running a senior oriented product, but their readership isn't elderly. Maybe they're running an ad that's for a very expensive product that a small percentage of their readership can afford. You know, a lot of times publications will say, you know, for example, we have, you know, Dish Network and DirecTV do a lot of advertising with us. And publications will come and they'll say, you know, we really want Dish Network and DirecTV. But then only later we find out that, you know, the vast majority of the readership are people who live in apartments. And people in apartments can't get DirecTV and Dish Network, you know. So it's those kinds of decisions, right, that really make a huge difference in response. And sometimes it's not the most exciting advertiser from a perspective of, boy, we'd really love to see them in our pages. Sometimes it's not the most exciting advertiser that does the best. It's the advertiser that is fulfilling a need that people in a specific geographic area have. And the needs that people in different geographic areas have vary widely. You know, we see it all the time, you know, and I'll just use this as an example. You know, a daily newspaper with 100,000 circulation in Texas will do very, very well with some advertisers, but not with advertisers that do very, very well with 100,000 circulation in Boston, right? How people respond to ads in geographic areas varies widely. We cannot sell, for example, Omaha Steaks does very, very well in the Midwest. No one in California or the Northeast buys Omaha Steaks. We can have the greatest looking ad that runs in the greatest publication. People just won't buy it. But people in Ohio and people in the Midwest love it. And so it's those kinds of things that you understand, not only as a consumer in that area, but as someone who understands your readership far better than we do, that can really make a huge difference in results.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And that really is, and we're hoping, Jolene, that is helpful to you and to others that are joining us here, because when your questions come in related to the topics we're covering and related to the nearby topics about, you know, ad performance, and in this case, working with MediaBids to increase your sales, it ties right into the things that we're doing in general, because all that we cover here is about tools and strategies and steps to do what? To drive more revenue. Let's talk about point number two, Jed, that we promised to cover here, the 8 steps to maximize our time and investment with the associations we're a member of, all right? And then some of the proprietary opportunities, proprietary ways that we can think about how to best get the largest return on our investment. So let's start with number one. Number one, we're going to attend the meetings. And for those of you that have asked, you know, about the attending of meetings, look, why join an association unless you attend? But what we're going to ask you to do is be more visible. All right, and we'll talk about some of the examples that are here. But one of the ways to leverage association events is to book client or advertiser or prospective advertiser meetings. And it goes like this. Jed, if next Tuesday I know I'm going to be at the, you know, the Association of Realtors, and, you know, I'm going to be there, then I'm going to reach out to some of those realtors that I've been trying to sell ads to. Maybe it's some of my largest advertisers that I haven't seen. Maybe it's some of the largest prospects that I want to sell some ads to. And I'm going to say, hey, next week, and the topic is going to be blah, 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 and hey, I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Might I meet you a few minutes before? Might we sit at the same table? Might I see you afterward? Hey, if you're not going to be there and the topic is blah, 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 you know, if you'd like, I'll make some extra notes and then I'll follow back up with you afterward. This is dynamically the way to work the meeting, because you know the meeting is set next Tuesday, and by reaching out to those who are your prospective advertisers, even if they don't return your phone call, when you do see them across the room, they're going to be more apt to turn and go, Hey, Ernest, it's me. I know I didn't return your phone call, but I am here. You're here. Yes, of course, we'll get together after. You know, Jed, frankly, they just feel a little guilty because they didn't return a call, you know, so they're more open and apt to connect with us. You know what I'm saying?
This is such good advice, right? I mean, I wish I had learned this, 10 years ago, and I figured out, without the benefit of a teleseminar, I figured this out probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And now, when I go to publication meetings primarily and advertiser meetings, you know, what we do here is we typically will pay a little bit more for a hotel room, get a suite where we can hold meetings, and then we make meetings and invite people to the suite where, you know, we can sit in couches and talk. And even if sales don't result in it, it's just a much better conversation if you're able to get the person alone for 15 or 20 minutes, talk to them, understand what their needs are, and then go from there. You know, even you're not making a sale sort of on the spot, you just get so much more information, and it's so much more meaningful meeting than if you are, you know, on the trade show floor and you talk for 3 or 4 minutes. So I really encourage you all to do this. It really works, and you would also I've also found that people are very receptive to meeting at these events, because I think a lot of people feel the same way that, well, I know I do about some of these events, and that is that there's a lot of downtime. You know, there's a lot of time that could be better spent. Anyway, I really encourage you all to do that. It's great advice from Ernest.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And it is a way to leverage. It's one of the 8 ways. And Jed, thank you for sharing that, that you also utilize that strategy, because it does work. Here comes the next one. Number 2, join committees, but join them smartly. And here comes the smart part. You, by reaching out to the executive director, and we'll talk about working with the executive director and the board of directors soon, towards the end of our teleseminar today. But by joining committees smartly, what that means is ask the executive director who is on each committee, wink, wink, and match that up to your largest advertisers, wink, wink, you're serving them and you have more face time with them, which is beautiful, or join the committees where you have what? Your largest prospective advertisers on the other side.
Right.
So this is one of those opportunities, Jed, right, to join the committees that make the most sense. You follow me on that?
Yeah, that's good advice. That mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense.
And we often get asked the question as a companion to this, but Ernest, you know, associations could have 10 committees or 15 committees. How do we do this? You divvy it up. You know, Mary, you take these 2 committees because we have 2 of our largest advertisers. Rick, you take these 2 committees because they have 2 of our largest prospects. And I'll take these 2 committees because it has 2 of our former advertisers, and I want to bring them back. You can divvy up the committees, and that will help to make sense on that. Number 3, and these are all individual meaty topics all by themselves, because the next one is about speaking. the ability to speak at meetings, the strategy of speaking on panels. We want you to be at the front of the room with your association. So, and in reverse, if you've ever gone to an association event and you're sitting in row number 26 looking up at your competitor, sitting on a panel for the next 40 minutes, watching the group eat out of their hand, watch 20 people circle around him or her at the end of their panel or speech, you pause and go, how come they're at the front and I'm sitting down in row 27? We don't sit in row 27, okay? And there's a whole variety of steps of how to present, how to get on those panels, how to leverage them before, during, and after. There's a whole host of things that we work on related to those in our Power Hour Academy and the coaching work we do. Number four, we write. We write for the association magazines, all right? So, for example, if I'm a landscaper and I'm part of the Association of Realtors, right, and I've got insight about landscaping for this time of year, by me writing articles gives me visibility and exposure. Realtors are more apt to call me, refer me for more biz, and my business grows, right? So if I'm a landscaper, I want to write an article in the magazine read by those realtors, or put in their newsletter, or placed on their blog, or added to Facebook, or tucked into LinkedIn, whatever it might be. Anywhere and everywhere those realtors are in my marketplace, if they're reading what I have to say about landscaping, bidding on landscaping, seasonal trends, things to do and don't do, all of those things give me the kind of visibility for my company. So the ability to write. Step number five, trade shows. Trade shows are a whole nother slice of how to utilize them and get the best investment. You know, we have the option, Jed, as you know, to just walk a show, the least impactful. Number two, we have the opportunity to have a booth and all kinds of strategies behind that specifically. But we also have the opportunity to sponsor and or speak. We're right back to the speaking side of the house, and we like to look at every one of those opportunities to give you and your media solutions the highest visibility within a association. Jed, any comments on a couple of those areas that I've just covered?
Yeah, I think that the what I've found with speaking, we've tried to do some of that here at MediaBids, and very often associations are open to getting proposals for speaking. You just have to plan way ahead. You know, they're usually planning their speakers, you know, 6-8 months before the conference happens, and they're usually pretty open to suggestions, as long as you can get them in pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a whole piece about the timing of getting speaking opportunities, what to present, what the steps are. For example, there are some associations that meet for their big annual meetings every June. Jed, every July, they're already going out for speakers. Why in July? Because July and August, they're evaluating. September, October, they're working it into their budget. And by January, the new year hits, right?
Right.
So if you miss that July window, you miss the full year. See you later next year. Okay, that's how far out that goes on that side of the house. So that's an important piece. Step number six of the eight we promised to cover, the fun events, the casual ones. So this, you know, we know that there's the black tie, we know that there's the trade shows and the variety of meetings, but the fun stuff, the golf tournaments, right? You know, we've seen all kinds of boating events. The association is going to rent a boat, and there's a cruise, and there's, 250 people attended, and there's a band, and, all of these tennis tournaments, sporting events, going out to see a polo event or the horses or the dogs, at the racetracks. I mean, there's all of these. Those are very different than the formal, come to my booth in a trade show. So we share this as strategy number six, that these are great opportunities to leverage. And then once again, because it's an in-person live event, you get an opportunity to call your best advertisers to ensure that they're there, your best prospects to confirm that they're going to be there. And I just love, Jed, when you call those prospects and they don't return your phone call, and then they show up in the foursome on the golf course right behind you.
Right.
And Charlie or Mary's going, "Hi, Ernest, it's me. Hi, Jed, it's me," and you're going, "Hey, it is me, and it is you," and they're like, "Sorry to return your phone call, but maybe we'll get a chance to talk, back at the clubhouse," and you're going, "Yes, we will." So
right.
That's the reason why We love those fun events. And people are more apt to let their hair down and kick it back a little bit. Number seven, again, a proprietary inside track. We utilize associations to find other like-minded vendors. Let's go back to that landscaper for just a moment. The landscaper says, you know, I'd like to put on a, you know, kind of a live event, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's the cost and there's the facility and there's the marketing. But what about if I string together me, the landscaper, plus the roofer, plus the painting company, plus the pool company, four or five of us put on a little two-hour gig, and it's all about things you should know in the summertime about taking care of your roofs, your trees, your you know, your parking lots. You can work on the park, the paving companies. All of a sudden, three, four, five of you can string together, okay? That same opportunity happens for us as media groups. We can reach out to each of those and go, hey, we're going to put on a little summertime maintenance and preventive strategies for realtors. So why don't we string together the landscaper, the pool company? So you see, as a media group, you have that opportunity, and you go, so therefore, if I've got the panel set up, and it's going to be sort of things that, you know, the top 10 tips that realtors need to know in the summertime, and I put on a little event, not only can I promote it and promote all of those various vendors, you know, that are in the space, but they will also go out and promote it, and we can create a really nice splash and a really nice opportunity. Smart Match Alliances. We wrote the book, Smart Match Alliances. The strategies are incredibly powerful. There's lots of moving parts behind the scenes, but step number seven is associations and the directory of other vendors and suppliers, meaning companies who do not compete with you, are the perfect path related to the utilization of that. Lastly, number eight, associations are vitally important. Do what? Pay attention to your competitors. Is their booth this year bigger or smaller? Has half their staff turned over or not? Are they even there at the trade show? Do they ever contribute anything in writing? Do they ever speak on those panels? Or are they really MIA? Or the opposite, they've come in there twice as large with their booth, twice as many people. No one is leaving their organization. What does that tell you about other media groups related to their participation at association events? Jed, some comments on that before we field some of the other questions that have come in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that you wanna take a look at that because it's gonna really, you know, give you a sense of what their you know, how active and sort of, you know, important the association really is. I mean, one of the things that I always look at with associations, that's sort of a litmus test for me, is you know, is why people join the organizations. I mean, you know, there are some associations and organizations that are out there that appear, at least to me anyway, to exist for no other reason than health insurance, or, you know, or some sort of industry related insurance where people get you know, access to a lower rate by joining this organization. There are other organizations for whom that is partially true, but have also done a really good job of taking it a step further and made themselves, you know, a much more important part of people's everyday business life. You know, when you look at the You can usually access online, and in some cases, you know, in some of their printed material, you can see the kind of topics and speakers that they've had in the past. That's also a good way to get a hint of which direction the organization is going. You know, sometimes those topics are embarrassingly outdated. Other times they're really, really interesting. So, you know, you can get a good sense of whether or not an association or an organization is really being used by its members in the way that you would hope, you know, based on the types of topics that they're covering.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a valid point, and that is the key part of associations, and the steps that we're talking about are giving you the way to maximize all of the opportunities. But there is a big one you know, in the house and in the room. And let's talk about the third point we promised to cover, and that is, so what can we learn from the executive directors of the associations we participate in and also their board of directors, okay? So a couple of pieces. A little story on this. When I first started working in media and ad sales in Southern California, Jed, a woman by the name of Valerie Teeter, was the executive director in Southern California, and we hit it off. Just connected, enjoyed, got to know each other, both on the personal and professional side. She mentioned she loved to play tennis. We went out and started to play tennis. I, of course, play at a very high level. She appreciated me hitting with her. I gave her some pointers, and we went on to have both a personal and professional connection. All of a sudden, I would hear from her something like, you know, hey, heads up, did you hear that, you know, Lucy left, you know, the competitor that you compete against? I was like, and all of a sudden I was like, how do you know that? Well, I'm the executive director. Hey, did you hear so-and-so about, you know, this and that? I was like, whoa, I'm surprised you know that. Well, Ernest, I know what members are coming or what. All of a sudden, Jed, it was very informal. I started to hear little tidbits and little pieces of what was going on. I was like, wow. Valerie knows everything. And that's when I had this epiphany, when I was like, you know, if I'm going to be involved in my associations, I need to bring closer these executive directors. I need to get to know them. I need to help them with their pet projects or assist them when they're in a jam at the very end because they haven't sold another five more booths, or they're in a pickle because they don't have a speaker. Whatever it was, whatever it is, the executive directors, if you save their bacon, if you help them move their initiatives forward, it will come back in spades to you. And it also means that they will keep you on the pulse. They can open doors for you. They will tell you about competitors. They'll keep you posted on new members that are joining the group. They'll tell you about who's leaving or who's not paying their bills. They'll share with you updates about new hires coming on board with competitors. Here's another key one, Jed, and this is a sleeper. They'll let you know about acquisitions. Hey, have you heard so-and-so is looking to sell their media group, or so-and-so is wanting to step back from the biz, or there's been some health issues. You can acquire competitors, literally, because executive directors stay on that pulse. They'll let you know about industry news or flags or new trends that are out there. You know, whatever's going on, they're on the pulse because they are like Switzerland. They're neutral, but they see all the vendors and they see all the members. So it's, again, like the Board of Realtors or the Association of Chiropractors. That association director knows everything about all the chiropractors, all the news, the trends, the red flags, insurance issues, litigation events, but they also know all the vendors and suppliers, which is where we fit in. We are a vendor and supplier. By definition, we're not a chiropractor, right? And we don't have a chiropractic firm. So that's the part to recognize on that side, all right? And then the other companion piece is the board of directors. When you look at the board and you say, okay, now the board could be lots of chiropractors that are on the board for the executive director, and Jed, our pearl here is sell those ads to the board, meaning deliver on your results to the board, and then you go out to the members and say, look, your eight board members are all advertising with me. So if it's good enough for them, surely it should be good enough for you and your chiropractic practice and firm. Jed, your comments about working right. with the boards and working with the executive directors.
No, I think it's a great idea, and I think that it's a pretty authentic conversation to have with members because that's why they're joining these associations, right? They want to get better at their business, and they want to learn what's working for other people. So if it is working for directors and other people on the in the association, I think that it's something they want to hear about it. You know, one of the things that we do, which you can very often do as an associate member, is when you do have a story to tell, you can pay the association, usually not much, but you can pay them to send out an email to all of their members on your behalf, and sometimes that works really well. Especially if you have sort of a related story to tell.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point, Jed. And you are right that associations, one of the things they do provide is that they will permit X number of e-blasts. Remember the old days, They would polybag your ad inside of their printed magazine. Some still do. They would provide the list of members, and you could do a direct mail, or they would provide that. You can be tucked into an e-blast. That's all great points. Thanks for that bell ringer. For those of you that are listening, you know, to us today, related to that. And we do have a question from Michael in Connecticut, who asks, and this is an interesting one, Jed, because I know we've bumped into this. Associations don't want our publications at their events due to conflicting advertisers associated with competing associations. But we want their members, he says, to become our readers. What's a good trade so we can access their member list somehow? So that's a little interesting. Let's break that down because there's a couple of pieces. So the first part about their events, and Jed, without having all the particulars, the only time I see that being a challenge is because the association is selling ads to the members, we're selling ads to the members, and there's a competing concern there. You follow me on that?
Yeah. That association sounds ridiculous, to be honest with you. I mean, that's
I knew you were going to say that.
That seems crazy. I mean, I would, I'm not saying there's anything you can do about it, but boy, it sounds like what they're saying is, you know, we don't want the ads that you have in your publication from like businesses that may be involved in other associations, to appear. You know, we don't want our members to see your publication because, God forbid, they may come across an ad that's from outside of our association. Maybe find another association to join. I would say that. My argument to them would be your members are not the consumers. Who cares if your members see ads from competitors? They're not buying from them. What does it matter? I mean, you're going to outlaw Google? You're going to outlaw the Yellow Pages? You know, you're going to outlaw, you know, every radio station and television station in existence? You know, I mean, it's a silly argument, and it seems like one that would be winnable. But if it's not winnable, you know, just speaking for myself, I'd probably look for another association.
Yeah, no, that is a great comment, and the other piece to that, and Michael, sometimes we have seen where we've approached, for example, take trade show programs. We've approached associations, our clients have, and said, look, you know, why don't we create this as a revenue stream? There'll be a revenue share. It might be 50-50, it might be 70-30, whatever that is, but why don't we work together? Why don't you let us sell the ads into the program? You sit back and just endorse us, and we'll go off and drive revenue. So sometimes associations will back off when they see that. But again, that's about the partnership. The other part is you also asked, though, about accessing their member list somehow. And that's simply, Jed, as we know, you might spend $500 to join an association, and the first thing you get is an electronic directory of the members. You get a login, you get a password, and frankly, Michael, that's the simple way. You may not renew next year, but you can join this year and maybe every third or fourth year going forward and get the access of their member list on that side of the house. Because, Jed, by definition, when you're a member of an association, you get a directory of all the other members, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And one of the things that we've done with associations along those lines, which, you know, is a little bit off the beaten path of what we've talked about here, and maybe a little bit too complicated for some of the people had in mind on this call. But you know, we've said to associations, and we've had associations agree to this. Like, look, we're trying to get your members involved in, you know, in my particular case, in MediaBits, and so for every one of your members who gets involved, we will share some of the revenue generated as a result of having that person involved in MediaBids with your association. So, you know, they become a partner, really, in trying to get their members involved. And that's worked really well for us, not just with publication associations, but also in real estate. It's worked really well. Because one of the problems that every association has is that they really are dying for what they refer to as non-dues revenue. So the revenue that's generated from something other than the amount that their members are paying. And they try to generate that revenue through events. They try to generate it through, you know, selling ads and things like publications. They try to generate it through access to their email list, that type of thing. But if you can wrap them into the fold and make them a partner, you can get access to a lot of things that may otherwise cost an enormous amount of money to do on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's about bringing the association relationship even tighter together. Jed, we've seen media groups go out and say, why don't we work together on an industry white paper? Why don't we help you form this particular panel? Why don't you let us with your or our shared work go out and do some research? Why don't we go out and work together on a united front? We have a litigious event that we, the members, we, the chiropractors, are concerned about, you know, the insurance side of the house, a liability component, something that's come out as a legal ruling. So there's all kinds of ways. Remember, associations are incredibly powerful. They're like Switzerland. They know everything that moves in the space. And guess who else is like Switzerland? You are. You are also like Switzerland. Never forget that piece. So therefore, you have the opportunity to co-partner, to co-work with them, and that brings you even closer into the fold. So again, just as we're wrapping up here, Michael, it's an excellent question. It's a complex one. Associations, at times, can be put off by how deep we are and the work that we do in our ad space. I think it's a good problem. They see that we're strong. They see that we're focused on the particular sector or the niche or industry or kinds of advertisers we serve. And at times they can push us back. It's not a good place to be, though. We don't want sort of the war of the roses, right? We don't want a big issue with associations because they can be vital. And if they're, you know, if they've got 500 chiropractors that meet every 30 days and you're no longer invited, you know, that's a little uncomfortable. And I know, Jed, you earlier said, hey, listen, I don't want to join that group. But if I'm in, you know, Medford, Oregon, population 2,000 people, and there's only 50 chiropractors, I want to be part of that group in some way, shape, or form, and I want to make myself indispensable to the board and the executive director if it's at all possible. It may not be, Jed, to your point. Right. It may not be, but hopefully, and frankly, just so you know, let's field the question on the other side. And if an association is going to create that much pushback, then I'm willing to do my own work to create my own in-person events, to create my own educational opportunities that I'm going to provide in sort of my own way. So there's never a brick wall, Michael, and to those of you who are joining us here today, we just have to be a little more creative. Okay?
The associations, you know, to add on to what Ernest just said, I mean, associations, I guess, you know, really are no different than any other business, and that is that, you know, if you can show them that, you know, that your involvement is going to ultimately help them from a revenue perspective and not hurt them, then they'll be all for it. You know, I mean, that's what it seems to always boil down to with associations. There's very few that are just sort of altruistic, you know, let's help the industry type of organizations, at least that I've been exposed to. I'm sure they're out there, but my experience has been the sort of the opposite of that.
Understood. And so let's pause right here. We've covered a lot of ground. As always, during our educational teleseminars, we've fielded lots of your questions. Please continue to let us know what topics you would most like us to cover. Let us know, related to this topic, the impact it's making. Let us know if you get stuck and if there's any way that we can help you on the media bid side or the Power Hour side. Jed and myself and our teams are always here for you. As we wind things down for today, for those of you who already work with MediaBids, you know all that they bring. For those of you who do not, come into MediaBids, you will have a wonderful experience and a wonderful opportunity to work with their team, and they will positively, absolutely deliver. And then in reverse, come into our site, PowerHour.com. It's our 21st year working with ad sales teams and their groups, and we positively love that. And, of course, would also like you to join our academy on Tuesday, and you will have every single week not only learning opportunities, but the opportunities to interact live with me, just like we're doing here. You simply dial in from wherever you are on the topic of that week, and we will positively help you. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up here?
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thanks, Ernest. There's a lot about associations that we talked about today that I had that I learned and I had not thought about in a while. So, thanks again for an informative hour.
Beautiful, Jed. Always a pleasure.
If anyone has any questions about media bids, please get in touch with us. We're happy to speak to you.
Beautiful. As always, a pleasure, Jed, working together. And to each of you and all of you, we'll see you next month. Take care.
Thank you.